You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church. So if you brought your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verse 1 through to 10. There was a new mother that just after giving birth to her new child, was whisked off to a new mother's conference. And as upon arrival to this conference, the main speaker was behind the pulpit, beginning to welcome everybody on this new mother's conference. And so she says these words. She says, "From this day on, for the rest of your life, everything will change. Now you'll be required to cook, to clean, to take care of every child, taking them to get their flu shots, taking them to get their vaccination, taking them to their new team trials or rehearsals. But also you'll have to continue to take care of your husband, make sure that he feels desired." And so as this main speaker is speaking, there is a hand in the back row that goes up, interrupting the main speaker, the hand raised with a followed by a small voice. "Excuse me," she said. "With all this enormous amount of work, I'm just wondering, are there any perks?" The main speaker thought for a moment. She says, "Ah, yes, there is. One day a year, you actually get a day off. But you still are required to work because that day is known as Mother's Day." Now, today we want to honor the unconditional love that our mothers show each and every one of us. And the Bible has much to say in regards to this kind of love. And so I want to preach to you a sermon entitled "A Mother's Love" out of the book of Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You can read along with me in your Bibles. The Bible says these words, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And the maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" A mother's love. Let's look firstly and focus on what mothers create. Now, mothers have been known to create a home. Before mothers were around, no doubt men would be quite happy to live in tents and caves. But I'm sure in distant history, there would have been the introduction of a mother that immediately wanted to array now the interior with all types of decor, add in linen and pillows and scented candles to create a house to become a home. And there are so many things that a mother brings to the physical structure of a house. And this is exactly what mothers bring to the table. This is exactly what mothers create. Now, in our passage of Scripture, we see that it was Moses' mother that after some time spending with her child, that she now has to create an ark so that it would ultimately keep Moses safe. In verse 3 of our text, when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And so again, there's no mention of the husband in this circumstance, but what we can see, and this is not to bring shade on him, but it reveals the mother's investment, that here she is creating a place of refuge and safety for her child. And no doubt this highlights the impact and influence that mothers have in the home. Now, the story is centered around a very hostile time. Every Hebrew boy child was being slaughtered in fear that they would rise up and dethrone the Pharaoh. And so here is Pharaoh acting out in hostility, rage, and murder. And despite this hostility, here is Moses' mother that is able to create an environment for growth and for life. And this is exactly what every mother creates in the home. In verse 22 of chapter 1, we see a glimpse of the hostility that Moses is birthed into. In verse 22, so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so no doubt this is the environment that Moses is surrounded by. This is the environment that now Moses' mother is trying to protect her son from. And so it is an incredible ability that mothers can have in order to, even in times of hostility, to still feel safe and sheltered from the real dangers that are outside. Now, in a passage of Scripture in the book of Hosea, God projects his feelings about how he is dealing with what's happening with the people of God. And his imagery that he uses is that of a mama bear that is very much watching over her cubs, making sure there is no threat to them. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, I will meet them like a bear deprived from her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Now, what this speaks about is God's invested interest in God's people, in his children. When there's a threat, when there's something coming towards to harm them, God says, I'm going to watch over, and I'm not just going to allow anything to happen. In fact, he uses the mother bear that's deprived of her cubs to be able to illustrate how invested he is. That it is not just you just can go into mama bear's territory and do whatever you want, but rather she is watching for every potential threat, and she's ready to strike at any moment. This is what mothers do. This is the environment that they can create. This reveals that how a mother strives to protect her children. Yes, there are things that are out there that are trying to harm and hurt our children, but the mother's instinct, there's something in the fabric of a mother that says, I'm going to take care and I'm going to provide and I'm going to make sure that nothing bad happens to you. See, this is the influence of a mother. And it is an influence that is created in the home that ultimately projects beyond the four walls. See, every mother wants to know that the investment that they've made in the home, to create a sanctuary of safety for their children, to be able to now guide them in the times when they're outside of the four walls, in the real world, so that they're still protected. In verse 3 of our text, the Bible says, "But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's banks." We see firstly that she created an ark. This speaks about security for her child, something that would keep this child afloat, something that ultimately wouldn't cause them to sink or fall by the wayside. This speaks about life skills that we learn from our mothers. The things that they are aware of the moment you leave the house. Don't forget your asthma puffer, or do you have enough credit on your phone to call, or have you got a sweater or a jumper, because it might get cold. I can feel a breeze, and it's the mother's ability to tune into that. She creates an ark. But also, number two, is she places the child in the right location. See, here is Moses' mom that places Moses in the reeds, exactly where the Pharaoh's daughter would be, just at that place where this Pharaoh's daughter would be able to notice him. And so we see this is exactly how mothers operate. They work hard at trying to make sure that where you are, you're going to be okay. That who you're with is going to be a safe environment. That you're not just going to play with any people, or you're not just going to make up your own friends. I'm going to give the stamp of approval for that. And so she places the child in a specific location. Number three is we see the mother creates the right amount of push. There's something about a mother's gentle, subtle words of encouragement that we still hear till today. Those beautiful words that have been spoken, no doubt, that encourage us. Let me read to you this poem. It says, when you're a child, she walks before you to set an example. When you're a teenager, she walks behind you to be there should you need her. And when you're an adult, she walks beside you so that as two friends, you can enjoy life together. So I'm going to look secondly this morning at the letting go. Now, this is something that no doubt grips the reader as you read this. What kind of mother is willing to let go of her child? Because how many know when you read this, we know this is not natural for a mother to just throw the child away or give up. No doubt every mother would wrestle as reading this of fear of abandonment and betrayal. Never would any mother desire their children to feel this way. And so you can read this and no doubt feel as though that's exactly what's transpiring. But what we get to read is that this was no easy decision for Moses' mother to make. In fact, the Bible says 3 months have gone past. 3 months of hiding the child. 3 months of making sure that he isn't harmed or in any way hurt. 3 months of endangering her own life by the potential soldier that would storm in and take them both away at the orders of Pharaoh. In verse 2, the Bible says, "So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months." Again, this was no easy decision. And no doubt this is not a sign of neglect, but rather a sign of a godly type of trust. In verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughters of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. See, it was that final release. It was that moment where the mother recognized, I've done all that I can do, and now I have to trust in God. Now I have to put my trust in a God that's protected me, that's taken care of me, that no doubt has blessed me with this child. You know, it was Hannah that made a vow to God. This woman was barren, could not bear children for her husband. But upon making a vow to God, something of the miraculous transpired in her physical state. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. It was upon that vow, that moment of placing her trust in a God who was trustworthy. That moment after, no doubt, Hannah thinking, I've done all that I can do in my own strength and in my own ability, but there's still things that I lack. There's still things that I do not or have not control over. And so she relies in a trustworthy God. And the moment that she lets go, the moment she releases this circumstance into the hands of a trustworthy God, now we begin to see the miraculous. We see Samuel that grows up to be one of the great prophets, anointing kings, being God's oracle for his people. But see, this all came back to a woman who wanted to be a mother, who said, I just want the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing it is to have a child. And if I am given that privilege, I'm willing to give him back to you. She did this, and we see Samuel is born from this. That was a vow that this woman made. That was a vow that she made to a trustworthy God. See, what mothers discover is that through the letting go, you are letting God into the unpredictable. See, as much as mothers would like to have everything in control, and again, I'm married to a very, she is in control. My wife is, when it comes to getting the kids ready for school, the lunches, the hair, the shoes, everything is like a well-oiled machine first thing in the morning. If that was up to me and any dad, we'd have the kids sticky tape to the wall and we'd just be like, you know what? I just hope it works out for you. But yet, the ability to have everything work out correctly, fall into place. But yet, despite that, when you compare yourself to God, we still lack. There are still things that are out of our control. See, He controls the waters, the elements. He controls all things, and He is able to speak and things come to life. And see, you can't be expected to have that type of control. And that's where the trust in God, letting go and letting God get involved in your circumstance. No doubt this would have been Well, this was a 3-month wrestle for Moses' mum. Where do I leave him? How do I leave him? What do I leave him in? But see, she did her part. And the moment she let go, God got involved. So I want to look thirdly and in closing at God honoring the sacrifice. Because no doubt if, you know, you're wrestling right now as a mother just thinking about the letting go, I don't even want to think about that with my children. But see, God is honoring a sacrifice that he sees a mother do. Her loss becomes a great gain. See, we serve a God that keeps very good books. He is so much in control than we realize and is just waiting for an opportunity to reveal to you how much he really is in control. Nothing goes unnoticed. In our passage of Scripture, we have millions of children being affected by this malicious act. And yet one woman, one mother is heard. No doubt this would have happened at a time she can't reverse the situation she's in. If she was given the choice, I'm sure she wouldn't have brought this child into this time. But of course, she can't go back. She makes the sacrifice to let go. And now the miracle begins to unfold for her. Not only did God protect her child, but now God takes care of her needs. Read along with me in verse 6 through to 8. The Bible says, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. See, it was in the letting go that God gets involved. And now her loss becomes a great gain for her. Listen to me, your sacrifice as a mother is not gone unseen. God sees everything. God is aware of where you're at. If you're a mother and you're struggling right now with teenage rebellious kids, listen to me. God sees you. God knows what you're going through. If you're a mother, the new mother, you don't know what to do and you feel incapable, listen to me. God sees. God hears. What's wonderful about this passage of Scripture, and let me just add this to this passage of Scripture without deterring too much, that here is a mother who is employed to take care of her own child. Now imagine getting paid for every diaper that you change for your children, every snotty nose that you had to blow out, every time that you had to wake up in the middle of the night because they'd peed the bed, you're changing sheets. Imagine you're on the clock and getting paid. Truth is, if mothers got paid for what they did, we'd all be bankrupt. This world would be bankrupt. And yet you do it as a sacrifice for your family. And I'm here to let you know that God honors that. God's moving on your behalf. See, God loves getting involved with the affairs of godly mothers. Notice at how she is a Levite's wife. She's a Levite and then married to a Levite. And so this is significant because it gives her a position, a placement in the eyes of God. This is a woman set apart to be able to accomplish God's purposes and plans. And so this is significant when you take on the role as a godly mother, inspiring your children to hear the word of God, getting them prepared and ready ready to come to church, getting them in the car, not forgetting one at home, making sure they're all ready with coloring in books or on time for Sunday school. Listen to me, this is significant. You're playing a major part in what God wants to do in their lives. There are things that as a mother you can begin to set the tone in your home for your children to learn from. Number one is prayer. Now I know that mothers, no doubt, you know, when it comes to being free to be able to come to church or pray or be at church all the time or ministry, no doubt it's a strain, and there are seasons where as a mother you have to maybe take a step back, focus on the family for a while, and then when the time comes you can continue that. But what you have to understand is that your spiritual life continues, and it is with prayer that you begin to set the tone in your home. Maybe you're not able to make morning prayer, but listen, you can have a prayer closet where you lay a hold of God before the day of chaos begins. You're there in your prayer closet. You've got things you're bringing to the table that God needs to move. And you begin to pray, and listen to me, you begin to set the tone, the atmosphere in your home through prayer. Secondly, it's those atmospheres, the atmosphere that you can set in the home through your devotions. That with everything that you do is an opportunity to teach your children, share with them the love of God. That it bleeds out of everything that you do, rather than getting caught up with whose job and whose role and I'm not appreciate. You're there and you recognize, you know what? My life is devoted to being of service and doing my role. And in doing that, God's going to honor, God's going to protect, God's going to bless. It's that lifestyle of devotion. That you put God first in the home. That you set aside time. And you weave in through every day the gospel, the impacting power of the gospel. And finally, the third aspect of setting the tone in your home has to do with emanating loyalty. You know what? This mother of Moses didn't just release her child and say, well, it's in God's hands. But when the moment came for her to be employed to take care of this child, she's there, she's present, she's ready. It's not out of sight, out of mind. I know that every mother worries about their child the moment that they leave their house, the moment that they leave their sight. Listen to me, as you stay loyal and emanate that loyalty, you'll recognize that your children begin to embrace that and make that a part of their life. It is your influence that you make upon their lives that doesn't go unseen. See, no sacrifice isn't overlooked. It's not overlooked by our God. And we appreciate the sacrifices that you make. I want to close with this letter. This letter is written from a mother that is recognizing her fault when she was younger. Let me read to you. It's a bit of a lengthy letter, but it illustrates the point. It says, my mom is now 84 years old, and with my life feeling so uncertain for us all at the moment, especially with the elderly, this is the time. This is the time I'm going to say sorry for the terrible behavior, for the disrespect, and all the other horrible things I did as a teenager. Here goes. She writes, dear Mum, firstly, I'm going to tell you that you were right about pretty much everything, and I should have listened. You are my best friend, and it is because of you that each day I am reminded that unconditional love actually exists. You have amazingly forgiven me for all my wrongdoings, even though I have never actually said to you directly that I'm sorry, and truly now know that I am. You always treated me like a beautiful gift, and I should have flourished in my life so much earlier than I did, but I didn't, at no fault of yours, even though at the time I was blaming you. As a mum now, I realize that you were just doing your best with the information you had and situations you were dealt, just like I am trying to do my best with your granddaughters now. For whatever happened to me in my teens, the stubbornness, new worldviews, rejection of the core values you instilled in me, associating with people that didn't have my best interests at heart, peer pressure, my lack of direction, my sense of entitlement, and most of all, like most teenagers, the belief that I was invincible, it still doesn't excuse my behavior and resentment towards you at the time. Now, with two of your granddaughters about to reach their teenage years, I finally understand what you meant when you said, enjoy them while they're little and they still want to hold your hand. As I observe my eldest slipping into the grips of her teenage self, I feel so much fear and remorse. I'm so sorry, Mom. Sorry for choosing friends over you. Sorry for not listening to your advice about young love. Sorry for lying, for smoking and drinking when I knew that they were the very two things you were so against. Now with my oldest, doesn't answer a mobile when I call her. Apparently the battery's low or she forgets to turn it on. I think about the time, the things I used to do to you that still haunts me most. The parties I'd go to with friends at their houses that you disapproved. The smugness I felt at knowing I'd given you the wrong phone number when you reprimanded me for it. I remember thinking, what's the big deal? Yet now I know it was a big deal, and I'm sorry. I tremble at the thought of my girls disappearing on me the way I did on you. You knowing for certain where they are, and I'm thankful for the gift of mobile phones and technology that keep us connected. Even though you've never told me the full extent of how I feel, how I made you feel back then, I empathize with you right now. I know you wouldn't wish anything but good for me and my granddaughters, but I think I'm about to learn a whole lot more about mothering. Here are very real words written by a daughter that now is a mother to teenage children. Here are real words from a mother. Here are real words from a daughter that now is a mother to her teenage children. All she can think of is of the times that her mother showed her an unconditional love. You know, your sacrifice does not go unseen. What you do in the times where you feel as though you're the only one making a stand, listen, God sees, God knows, and you can trust Him. Speaking from the experience of being a rebellious child and turning my back on those that loved me the most, especially my mum, I know that looking back now, I see how God uses those circumstances for His glory. Praise God. Why don't we just quickly bow our heads? Let's close our eyes. We want to give an opportunity right now for anyone that's watching and you're unsaved, or maybe you're backslidden. I want to give you an opportunity to repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. See, it was this love that God had for you and I that He sent His only begotten Son to sacrifice His life on the cross of Calvary, to shed His blood on the tree so that you and I would be free from our sin and iniquity. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that if you're watching and you're unsaved, if you've not repented of your sins, hell is a real place. And hell is a place for everyone who rejects the love of God. But see, you don't have to go to hell. This is why God sent Jesus Christ. So that through His sacrifice, we would be set free. We would be given a place in heaven to call home. And so while you're watching this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to repent of everything you've ever done wrong and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, to give you a brand new start. Maybe you're watching and you recognize, you know what, I am a sinner. I've fallen short. I've done things that I know I've hurt my parents. I've hurt my mama. And no doubt if that's what I've done to them, I'm sure I've offended my Father in heaven. See, there's a wonderful word that you need to understand, and that word is repentance. If you choose to repent and ask for forgiveness, my God is faithful and just to forgive you. Wipe away all your sins, all your transgressions, give you a brand new start in life. And so while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. How many would there be this evening, this morning? You'd be honest, say, you know what, I need prayer. There's a button that you can press right now and we can have someone get in contact with you and lead you through a sinner's prayer. This prayer would be saying, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, give me a brand new start. I choose to serve you from this day forward. Amen. See, that prayer can unlock the supernatural, can heal you, and break every curse that is no doubt upon your life. And if you're willing to stand, make a bold stand and say, I need Jesus Christ, I want you to hit that button. We'll have someone pray for you, lead you through a sinner's prayer. Amen. Then changing the order of the service this morning, I want to speak right now to mothers. You know, no doubt there are many mothers that have failed or feel as though they've failed their children or their families. Listen to me. God knows what you're going through. God sees your heartache. God knows the circumstances that you're in. And no doubt the moments where we feel we failed, it's those times that we've tried to control things. But listen to me. There are so many things you can't control. You must learn to rely on God. Learn to rely on His love, His faithfulness, because He is trustworthy. You let go and let God do what He does best. And I can guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. See, my God loves your children more than you love them. He cares about them more than you do. And if you trust Him, if you just allow Him an opportunity to make Himself real to your children, He will. He'll save them. He'll deliver them. He'll bring them that revelation that you so desperately want them to experience. But you got to trust Him. Right now, right where you are, listen to me, mothers. God is not done with you. God hasn't overlooked you. The sacrifices that you've made are seen, and the reward is coming. The reward is coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we quickly just seal off in a word of prayer? I want to thank you once again for being a part of our regular services. I want to encourage you to stay in contact with us. Please don't hesitate to send us a message, call us, let us know of any prayer needs that you would like for us to uplift corporately, believing for God to move supernaturally in your circumstances during these difficult times. Let's quickly pray, seal off in a word of prayer. We can count ourselves dismissed. Father God, we're so thankful for our wonderful mothers that you have given us and introduced us and made us a part of their lives. We're so thankful for all their investments and their sacrifices. We're so grateful that we serve a trustworthy God. The moment that we give you our troubles, our circumstances, you're able to move supernaturally and even provide a blessing or a way of escape for each and every one of us. I'm asking you right now to, Lord, pour out your blessing upon every mother, upon our families, upon all the godly families that we have, the children, those that are under your protection. Lord, continue to be with us, strengthen us, that we may be able to do all that you've required of us. We're so grateful for this time together. We ask your blessing upon us until we meet again. And all God's people typed in, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning once again. And until I see you online, God bless.